bit, I think. This is probably one of those passages many times you read over and you say, man, what in the world did that just say? And when you look at the big scope of things, I want to make sure this morning, being fair to the text, this is a large prophecy passage. And what that means is when you think about the future of the nation of Israel, a lot going on over there right now and in our world surrounding them, and you think about a lot of the end time, a lot of the answers to those questions are found right here in this passage today. And so I want to make sure that when you hear me preach this morning, that you understand that the intent here is that it's a prophetic passage, but it's also a passage that brings life to us today. It brings life to us today. And I pray it'll be a blessing for you. And if you will, let's stand together out of respect for God's word this morning. Stand together, Ezekiel chapter number 37. Now, I want you to stay with me here this morning, okay? Because the reality is the timing of this is God is kind of surprising his prophet. Maybe better for us, a Bible term here, prophet, maybe for us in our mindset, if you're a new believer, new to church, a preacher. And so he comes to this individual Ezekiel here, and is kind of letting Ezekiel know, Ezekiel, you're ready to get started, you're ready to pastor your first church, or you're ready, and he's probably around 30 years of age or something like that, and he comes to Ezekiel, brings Ezekiel to this, and some people believe it was more of just a vision. Some people believe he actually took him there, but I want you to say verse 1 is still there anyway. If you're still with me, say amen. Let's look at verse 1, what the Bible says. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of what? Bones. And the Bible says, he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, what is taking place here? I want you to think just for a moment. If God took you and dropped you off in a place that was big as Lake Eufaula, I don't know if you've ever been in an airplane and flew over Lake Eufaula, but it's a huge, massive place of water. And if you were in that and God took you to a place as big as Lake Eufaula, and you looked around, but all you saw was old, dried, white bones. If you're seeing the scene, say amen. Now look at verse 3, what the Bible says. And he said unto me, so now God begins to speak to his preacher, his prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, the preacher said, O Lord God, thou knowest. He said, Lord, I don't know, but I know that you know, and if they are, you're the only one that knows how. Verse 4. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So God says, all right, Ezekiel, if they're going to live, the first thing you got to do is you got to get you a red hot sermon together and go out there, and I want you to preach to those bones. Now preachers get accused of being crazy. It's okay, it didn't hurt my feelings, amen, Doug, but what's this? God said, Ezekiel, I want you to go out there and preach to these dry, dead bones. Preach to them. Now look in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God, so he starts his sermon. Unto these bones, behold, I will cause thee breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover up your skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and you shall know, stay with me, that I am the who? Lord. Now look at verse 7. So I prophesied, Ezekiel's out again to preach, and I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together. They began to join as a body, as a skeleton, bone to his bone. And then after that, behold, the sinews and flesh came upon them. Their bones began to be covered by skin, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Now I want you to think just a moment. This has just happened, and these bones all over the valley begin to pick up, and they begin to connect. And as he was just standing there, a skeleton, then flesh began to cover these bones. And Ezekiel, he's just standing there preaching to them as all this is happening. Now look in verse number 9. Then said he, prophesy or preach unto the what? So now he says, Ezekiel, you preach to the bones. Now I want you to look up in the sky, and I want you to preach to the winds. And so he begins to tell him to preach to the winds. He says, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath. That's a prophetic statement there. O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. This morning I want to preach on this idea on, can a person live again? Can a person live again? Let's pray together. Father, help us right now. Lord Jesus, this morning, the reality is today that we need grace this morning. We're looking for the grace of Jesus Christ, not the word of the man, not the word of a preacher, not the word of a church, Lord, but we want Christ today to speak to us. And I pray today for hearts this morning that they would not be ministered to by a preacher, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that I may be preaching on the outside, but you'll be talking on the inside. And Lord, visit every pew today, every heart, every soul, every mind today in conscience. And Lord, may you be known today in your house. And I pray you guide us in the next few moments. And Lord, help make this simple to us today, because the reality is today, Lord, there is no hopeless situation that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot help. And God, work today. We pray in your name, Jesus, and all God's people say it. Amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Jim Glickenhaus in 2004, a man from Pebble Beach, California. He's a man undoubtedly with a lot of money, and he went to a car auction. And as he was sitting at that car auction, this car began to come on the scene, and it was an older car, not in good shape. Matter of fact, most people believe that it was one that could not even be restored. And as Jim watched it come by, he began to recognize that this car individually was the second car that was built by Enzo Ferrari. You heard that right? This car that came on the auction was the second Ferrari that Enzo Ferrari ever built back in the day. And in 2004, as that car came by, Jim began to bid on it, and he purchased the car for $770,000. The people that were sitting next to him and knew him, they said that it was a risk, that it was unable to be restored, and it was a hopeless piece of junk. However, Jim went home, and he believed that with the right help, that it could become a beautiful piece of car and a beautiful piece of machinery. And so he found the best restorer, the best workers, the best body people, the best engine people, and he began to locate original parts to put this car back together. And listen to this. After $500,000, Jim Glickenhaus ended up with a car today that is worth $8 million. If you'd like to have that car, say amen. And you say, Brother Joey, what's the point? The reality is this, is what most people saw was a hopeless situation with the right kind of help could be made over again. And I want to say to us this morning as Christians, surely to goodness that we would understand in our life what many people see as hopeless situations, what many people look at and say, hey, there's no way that can be done again. The reality is with the Lord Jesus Christ, anything can be helped. With the Lord Jesus Christ today, anybody's life can be put back together. With the Lord Jesus Christ's help, anybody's family, anybody's, if you can, group of people can be put back together this morning. And the reality is today, church, you may not believe it. Sir, you may not believe what the Bible teaches. Ma'am, you may not believe what the Bible teaches. But I promise you today, what many people see is hopeless. What many people see is someone that cannot be helped. With the Lord Jesus Christ, guys can do anything. Somebody say amen. There's a man standing in my office this week that was weeping, tears running down his face about money in his life. And here's what I said to him. I said, listen, don't take me wrong. I love you, brother. But if you take Jesus and you drop him off in your checkbook, Jesus can change that checkbook. Somebody say amen this morning. And the reality is today, you may be here struggling today with something in your life. You may be struggling with bitterness. You may be struggling with anger. You may be struggling with an addiction. You may be struggling with insecurity. It may be fear that has gripped your heart today, but I don't care what it is this morning. With the right help, the Lord Jesus Christ, you can live again. Now, somebody, if you're still with me, say amen. You say, Brother Joey, why is all this important? This is why. It's because Ezekiel was born and raised to be the next prophet of Israel. But I want you to think just a moment. He knew from a young age that he would be that one that God would use to be the prophet to the nation of Israel. And while Ezekiel was being groomed, while he was being brought up, if you can, and nurtured to be this prophet, think about this. The very nation that he would be the prophet of backslid, got away from God. And if you know Bible history, they went into the battle of the Babylonian captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, and the nation of Israel was destroyed. They were captured. Their land was destroyed and everything left in rubble. And watch this. Most of the Jews, most of them, according to the history books of the Bible of Kings and Chronicles, most of the nation of Israel died, and their bones were just left in a valley and obliterated to nothing. And while Ezekiel was being raised to be the prophet, that's what happened to the nation of Israel. But watch this. Now Ezekiel is 30 years of age around that area. And God comes to Ezekiel and says, Ezekiel, it is time for you to go see your nation. Ezekiel, it is time for you to go see the people that you've been raised to lead and preach to. It is time for you, Ezekiel, to go see them. And the Bible says that God takes Ezekiel and drops him right off in a valley that is full of nothing but dead, dry bones. And he says, Ezekiel, now have at it. There is your nation. And the Bible doesn't say what Ezekiel said, but in his mind he had to be thinking, Lord, are you sure? You mean, Lord, you've raised me. You've reared me up to be the prophet of these dead, dry bones? And Ezekiel has to be thinking, God, what is the catch here? But I want you to look with me, if you will, in verse number 3. Look what God says. And the Bible says in verse number 3 that God said unto him, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. But in verse number 3, God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live again? God tells Ezekiel that they can live again. These dead, parched, lifeless bones, they could live again. And then God shows him how they could live again. And I want to say this morning, wherever you are in your life today, you need help today. You need hope today. You need a future today. Listen to me this morning. If you've got the Lord Jesus Christ and you will let the Lord Jesus Christ have his way in your life today, you can live. You can have a future. You can be something for God. You can be a person that God can use. You can have a family. And I want to say today, if we will let God be God, he can help us live again. Somebody say amen. You say, Brother Joy, this morning, how does that happen? Because if you're sitting here this morning and you battle depression, what I just said to you, there's a lot of doubt in your mind, but I want to say this, God can do it. You may be sitting here this morning and you say, Brother Joey, you don't know the addictions that I have. You don't know what it's like to be overcome with addictions and then to just knock you right back on your back. You don't know what that's like, Brother Joey. Look at me. Number one, I do know what it's like, but number two, you got to understand Jesus Christ can bring life out of your dead situation. You know why? Because that's who he is. And we look around all the time and we say, hey, that person can't get help. That person's hopeless. That situation's here. It's done. My friend, I want to say it ain't done. As long as we got Jesus, as long as we got life, as long as we got the eternal life around us, my friend, nothing is hopeless and it can live again. If you're still with me, say amen. So how, Brother Joey, how do I experience life again? How does he bring life out of death? How will God do this? Two ways right here. He tells Ezekiel and we'll be done. Number one is this. First of all, you got to realize you got to expose yourself to the Word of God. You say, Brother Joey, I want a quick fix. I want somebody to come touch me. I want to come up front, and I want the preacher to put his hand on my head, and I want him to say something. I want to fall out on the floor, and I want to get up, and I want to go right back out, and everything is perfect. Look at me. That ain't going to happen in this church this morning, and that ain't going to happen anywhere, and it really take place in their life. If you want help today, you get help from the Word of God. You want change today. It comes from the Word of God. You want God to build your life today, it comes from the Word of God. But I want you to look what God tells Ezekiel. Look in verse number 4 what he tells him. He says unto Ezekiel, again he said, and Ezekiel says, God, how in the world are these dead bones going to live again? He says, Ezekiel, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones and to tell them to hear the word of the Lord. Now think, this was the first thing that God told Ezekiel to do, was to give them the word of the Lord. Why? Because if you and I are ever going to see change in our lives, we have to expose ourselves to the word of God. Now I want to say this morning, Christian, that you can be saved and go to heaven and not be in your Bible every day, but I want you to look at me. You cannot be saved and be a changing, growing Christian and not be in this book every day. You say, Brother Joy, I thought it was about experience. My friend, we do experience God, but we experience him through his word. Somebody say amen right there. And I want to tell you this morning, sir, if you won't change and you're not going to get in this book, it's not coming. Ma'am, I don't care how much you're praying for it. If you're praying for change and you're not going to get in this book, you will not receive it. Why? Because God said, Ezekiel, if these bones are going to live, you go give them the word of God. And if our bones are going to live, if our life is going to live, if we're going to be changed, if we're going to be helped, it starts by being exposed to the word of God. Now somebody say amen. You say, Brother Joey, why the Bible? I think it's a fair question. Don't you? Why the Bible? Why, Brother Joey, why can't it happen just by being baptized? Hey, Brother Joey, why can't it happen by me just praying a prayer or something? Why does the Word of God got to be the place that I go to get help? Why the Bible? You ready for this? Number one, because the Bible gives you hope. What do you mean, Brother Joey? I want you to look in verse number 5 and 6. Now, remember this. When he's getting ready to give them the word of the Lord, understand these bones are dead. They're sitting in the valley. They're lifeless. They're white. They're parched. They're dusty. They're nasty. And look what he says in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall, what? Say it. Ye shall live. Then look in verse 6. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with, what? Skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall what? Live. Now watch this. When Ezekiel is getting this word from God, God, what sermon am I going to go preach to bones? I want you to think about that. Here this preacher is, and God says, Ezekiel, I want you to go preach to him. He says, God, what sermon am I going to go to a pile of bones and preach to the bones? And God said, Ezekiel, you go tell them. I want you to get out there, and I want you to stand flat-footed with confidence and faith, and I want you to preach to them that, hey, if they'll listen to me, that they will live again. I'll put their bones together. I'll put flesh upon their bones, and I will put their bodies together, and I will breathe life into them, and they will live again. And Ezekiel says, God, is that what you want me to tell them? And he says, yes. And so the Bible says that Ezekiel goes on, and he's going to do that. We're getting ready to look at it. But why? Why did Ezekiel give them the word of the Lord? This is why. Because he wanted them to have hope that it could happen. Did you hear what I just said? He wanted them to have hope that it could happen. And I want to say this morning, if you're sitting in here and you feel hopeless, you need to get in the Bible, because it will let you know that it can happen. You know, a lot of times, I don't know about you in your life, but I know about me in my life. I get into some situations where I feel pretty hopeless. Some reason God will bring something into your life, something into your family, something into your home, and I'm telling you, it'll get you to the point where you feel like there's nothing you can do to help it. And I'll tell you, if you let the devil, he'll discourage you down. But it's amazing when you get in the Word of God, you see hope. You say, what do you mean, Brother Joey? What is it per se? Let's just say here this morning, now it's nobody in this building, okay? It's the other Baptist church down the road, okay? Now stay with me, all right? If you're still with me, say amen. Let's say this morning you got a problem with your temper. You're just telling people, yeah, the fan fell off the wall, knocked that hole in the wall. Why is it shaped like that? And you say, Brother Joey, this morning I struggle with my temper all the time, and I get so angry at people. When I say something and people disagree with me, it makes me mad. I don't care if it's my mama. I don't care if it's my wife. I don't care if it's my kids, my grandkids. And I just can't stand it. I'm so ruined my temper. What about it? And then you get in the Bible and you read about people like Peter. Peter had a temper tantrum. You know what I'm saying? Here's how bad it was. Peter and the disciples and Jesus, they were at a prayer meeting. They were at a what? And while they were praying in the garden, they were at a prayer meeting. Watch this. The soldiers came up to take Jesus. Peter lost his temper. He pulled out a sword, and he tried to cut a man's head off at a prayer meeting. Now, I'm going to tell you, that would have been a fun prayer meeting to be at. Amen? Lord God, help us, deliver us, give us your will. Whoa, what in the world, Peter? What are you doing? That's what took place. Peter had such a bad temper that he tried to kill a man while he was in the presence of Jesus. I want you to think about this. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you struggle with being deceptive and lying. You just lie. You lie so much you don't even know what the truth is. Now I'm going to tell you, that exists. And the reality, you say, Brother Joey, there's no help for me. There's no hope for me. Listen, and then you read in the Bible about a man named Jacob. And Jacob was such a trickster. He tricked his daddy. He tricked his family. He tricked his brother. He was a deceiver. He was a liar. But hey, when God got a hold of him, when God got a hold of Jacob's life in Genesis 32 and 33, hey, God made him into a whole new person. And I tell you, when you read stuff like that, it helps you understand that, hey, I may struggle, I may have problems, but based on the word of God, if God helped Peter, if God helped Jacob, he can help me too. Somebody say amen. Maybe you struggle with fear. Maybe you worry about everything. And if you ain't worrying about something, you come up with something to worry about. You know why? Look at me. You're afraid that God won't take care of you. Nobody said amen, but that's the truth. When we worry and are fearful, it is because we're afraid that God won't take care of us. But listen, do you realize in the Word of God, one of God's leaders named Joshua was a man that was plagued by fear. And when you read about Joshua and you read about his life and you read what God did through his life, it's not until you get into the middle of his ministry that you realize this man was worrying about everything. He was afraid of everything. But God helped him. God delivered him. God raised him up. And hey, listen, this morning, you got to get in the Word of God, because when you get in the Word of God, you begin to realize that God can help you. Now, somebody say amen. There's some of you in here this morning. You say, Brother Joe, what about my bitterness? Listen, we could go to the Apostle Paul. I want to say this. Before he became Paul, he was Saul when he didn't know the Lord. But I want you to say Saul's life was filled with hatred. Listen to me this morning. He spent his life going around finding Christians, capturing them, killing them, putting them in prison. Why? Because he couldn't stand Christianity. But then when you read his life, what happened? Jesus showed up in his life. He got saved by the grace of God. God got a hold of his life. And he became a man that was filled with the love of God. And hey, listen to me this morning, if God can help Peter, if God can help Jacob, I'm trying to preach this morning, if God can help Joshua, if he can help Timothy with insecurity, if he can change Paul, then God can deliver you from that mess. God can bring you out of that ditch. He can bring you out of that valley. He can bring you out of that gutter. And my friend, our God, he can do anything. Somebody say amen. The Word of God, you get in the Word of God, it gives you hope. And number two, please stay with me right here. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. You need to get in the Word of God because it causes faith and belief. What do you mean, Brother Joy? Look at verse 7 and 8. I want you to think about this. Look at verse 7 and 8, what the Bible says. And Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together. Bone to his bone. And we beheld, behold, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them from above, and there was no breath in them. Now look at me, if you will, real quick. The Bible says in verse number 7 and 8, I want you to think about this, right after God said, you ready for this? Ezekiel, here's what I can do for them. If you follow me, say amen. And then he comes over here and he says, you go out there and you start preaching, and I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. Don't miss this. You get in the Word of God and it shows you what he can do for you. And then when you get in it, he begins to put it together in front of your face and you see it. Now I want you to think with me here just a morning. Hey, we may not get done, but we're going to have a good time today. Amen. Because we're preaching about somebody that's still alive today. I love it. Watch this. Ezekiel, God comes to him, says, Ezekiel, these bones can live again. And Ezekiel's like, God, do you see what I see? All I see is bones, but I don't even see skeletons. Lord, they've been here so long that they're disconnected. They just hear. And God says, Ezekiel, you go tell them that they will live again. And so he gets his message ready, and I want you to think just a moment. I'm asking you to think this morning. Follow me in your mind. The Bible says Ezekiel goes out there, and he gets in the middle of the church, the bones. And I don't know if he got a pulpit, if he stacked two bones on top of each other. I don't know what he did, but I know this. The Bible says he started preaching. And he started preaching. And as he was preaching, if them bones would have had eyeballs, some of them would have looked back and said, he crazy. I told you, and somebody said, I told you, you don't trust no preacher. He lost his mind. I knew that. And as he began to preach, while them over there were running their mouth, the Bible said a couple of those bones began to slap up against each other. And then as they began to slap up against each other, on the other side behind them people, they began to slap up against each other. And then the Bible says all over that valley, these bones, they begin to cling together, and it was amazing. As they were clinging together, the Bible says these bones actually begin to join to each other in the fashion in which God, you listen to me, had put them together originally. And as the leg bone connect to the hip bone, and the hip bone to the rib bone, and the rib bone to the, and as the bones begin to come together, watch this. Now as Ezekiel is preaching, watch this, he's preaching and preaching and preaching, and skeletons are popping up everywhere in that valley. And then the Bible says, God comes through that valley. He gets a big old roll of flesh. He might have got it from Sam's, amen. Bible says God began to go through that valley and wrap those skeletons in flesh. And there Ezekiel is in the bones, and he's just preaching, and he's preaching, and he's preaching. And as he's preaching, the Bible says those, that flesh begins to wrap around these bones. And when he's getting ready to go to point two, all over that valley are people standing. Their bones are intact, and their bodies are covered in flesh. Now I want to tell you, when Ezekiel started preaching in verse 7, I bet some people had some doubt. But by the time they got to verse number 8, I'm going to bet it was silence all across the valley. Because it was bodies standing everywhere. And I want to say, how did this happen? Because it was a response to the word of the Lord. And when we hear the word of God, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the word of God lets us know, don't miss this, what our God can do. And it creates faith in you. And ma'am, listen this morning. If you have a struggle today, this is the answer. You have a problem today, this is the answer. You're having a full of wonder today, this is the answer. The word of God. You've got to expose yourself to the word of God. Now, number two, if you're still with me, say, amen. Because there's a problem here. Right now, Ezekiel was standing in the valley. And he was preaching to bones. But now he's preaching to bodies with no life. And you say, Bro Joey, man, that sounds like God's doing something special. No, it sounds like he's not done yet. And I want to say this morning, I don't care how much you get in the Word of God. If what I'm getting ready to share with you does not happen to you in your life, you will never be different. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I mean. Ma'am, you can memorize the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and be able to quote it. But until you are ready to receive where I'm getting ready to go, you're never going to be changed. But, Brother Joey, there's power in the Word. There is power in the Word. But God says that's not the only part that brings life. You say, Brother Joey, this morning, but I can know the Word of God. I can know what the Bible says and still be depressed. Yes. Brother Joey, I can know what the Word of God teaches and still be dominated by addictions. Yes. Brother Joey, this morning, I can know the Bible. I could even be able to teach the Bible and yet still be overcome by bitterness. Yes, why? Let's get ready to see why. If you're still with me, say amen. Look at this morning. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9, look what happens. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, watch this, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Now watch this. The Bible says that God told Ezekiel to go out and to prophesy to the wind, telling it to come and breathe on the bones so they can live. Now I want you to think what happens here. What takes place here? Ezekiel goes out. He says, point number one, you need to hear the word of the Lord. You need to understand that it can be different, and God's going to put it together and show it to you. But then he goes over and he says, point number two, let me preach to the wind. And I don't know if he looked that way or looked up, but the Bible says that Ezekiel walked out and he started preaching to the wind. And Brother Joey, what did he say to the wind? He said, hey wind, I want you to come. What do you mean come? Wind, come and breathe on us. Now what was that sermon? The wind here is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to say this morning, sir, I don't care how much you know about the Bible, until the Spirit of God blows into your life, you will never be different. I want to say, ma'am, this morning, I don't care how much you know about the book, until the Spirit of God blows into your life and through your life, you will always be who you are right now today. You say, Brother Joel, what is this a picture as? Hey, there's one other time in the Bible when God used wind like this. I want you to hold your finger here. Please don't go out of here, okay? We're coming back to it. And I want you to go to John chapter 3 with me. I want you to see this real quick. John chapter number 3. John chapter 3, and look what happens right here. Let me give you a little background about what's going on. Right here in John chapter number 3, we have this man named Nicodemus. Who was he? Nicodemus would have been a man, one of the religious leaders of that day. Hey, listen to me this morning. He knew the Bible. He knew the law. He knew all about God. But stay with me. There was something missing in his life. There was something missing in Nicodemus. He knew he was empty. Hey, he went to church every week. He went to Sunday school. He went Sunday night. He went Wednesday night. He knew the Bible. But there was still something missing. What happened? Look in chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher from one God, for no man can do these miracles except thou doest, except God be with him. Now watch this. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now look at me real quick. If you're still with me, say amen. Nicodemus come to Jesus and said, Jesus, you staying with me? I know the Bible. I know the Bible enough to know that you're a rabbi. And Jesus, how can I get into the kingdom? Because I know I'm not in it. Because if I was in it, I wouldn't be so empty. I wouldn't be so unfulfilled in my soul. If I was in it, Jesus, I know that it would be different. And Nicodemus said, Jesus, how can I get into the kingdom? And Jesus said this, oh, Nicodemus, you know the truth, but a man must be born again. And Nicodemus said, I can't be born again. I've already been born. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you don't understand. I'm not saying you need to be physically born again. You need to spiritually be born again. And Nicodemus said, Jesus, what do you mean? How can I be spiritually born again? And Jesus said, look at me, Nicodemus. I want you to look at that tree over there. Look at verse 7, what he says. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. And as thou hearest the sound thereof, thou cannot tell whence it cometh or whence it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And God said, Nicodemus, you look at that tree. When the wind blows on that tree, you don't know where it comes from. You don't know how it got there. You don't know where it originated from. But you know this by looking at that tree. When that tree begins to blow, when that tree begins to move, when that tree begins to shake, you know that the wind blew through it. And Nicodemus, that's what it means to be born again. The Spirit of God, you ready for this? It blows into your life. He comes over your life. And the Holy Spirit is here to control us and dwell us and fill us and guide us. And I want to say today, sir, it's not enough to know the Bible. You got to be blown on by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's got to control over your life. And it's got to blow over your life and your situation. Somebody say amen. Say, Brother Joy, how does this happen? I want you to look at verse 2. You ready? I'm getting ready to close out right here. Look at verse 2. How does this happen, Brother Joey? Look at verse number 2. He said this. The same came to Jesus. Won't you look at me? The Bible says the wind blew on Nicodemus because he came to Jesus. It didn't say because he started going to church. It didn't say because he bought a Bible. It didn't say because he knew the Bible. It says the same came to Jesus. What does that mean? Here's what it means. When Nicodemus came off that hill and he came straight to Jesus, Jesus looked him in his eyes, but Jesus saw in Nicodemus that he wasn't just coming to Jesus. You ready for this? He saw in Nicodemus' heart that he wanted help. He saw in Nicodemus' heart that all he wanted was change. And he didn't know what it would cost him. He didn't care what it would cost him. But when he saw in Nicodemus, he said, hey, there is a man whose heart is open. There is a man who really wants me to work in his life. There is a man who really wants help. And God saw it in Nicodemus, and he birthed him into the kingdom, and he blew across his life. And you say, Brother Joey, this morning, when will the Holy Spirit blow across my life? Listen to me this morning, ma'am. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of your lies, sick and tired of your pride, sir, sick and tired of all the stuff you're saying, and when you get open with God and willing with God, and you want God to blow into your life, the Holy Spirit of God will blow across your life, and it will change your life. Somebody say amen. And the reality is, the reason some of us sitting here this morning, we're still defeated by laziness. We're still defeated by bitterness. We're still defeated by our pride. We're still defeated by our temper. Somebody help me this morning. We're still defeated by our addictions. It's because we're nothing but lying before God. We're praying, asking God to help us. We don't want his help, because if you wanted his help, he would give you help. And the reason he's not helping is because we don't want it. Somebody say amen. Because we're afraid, you ready for this, of what it'll cost us. Because, sir, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and talk to people like you want to. Ma'am, you can't be filled with the Spirit of God and run your mouth like a lizard all week. You may can at that church, but not where the Bible is preached. Because when the Spirit of God comes into your life, he controls you. And I want to tell you, he controls your thoughts, he controls your intents, and everything that comes out of your mouth and out of your life is controlled by the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you today, the reason we are living in a mess in our lives is because we're not willing for God to change us. You know why? Because we're afraid of what it's going to cost us. But I'm going to tell you a cross statement this morning. Can I tell you a cross statement? If you want God's help, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and you follow him. And I don't care what it is today, what bitterness, what relationship, what drug, whatever it is in your life, the Holy Spirit of God will deliver you. Say amen. Then what happens? Oh my goodness, I ain't even gonna say it, because you know what, I don't care this morning. I don't want you to look at me. I'm gonna go 5 minutes over this morning. If you don't like it, God bless you. Amen. Go to Ezekiel 37. Won't you see this? Look at me. Look what happens here. Boy, this is awesome. What happens? Look at chapter 37, verse number 10. The Bible says this. So I prophesied, I preached. I preached to the bones, I preached to the wind as he commanded me. And look what it says. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet. Now watch me. Look at me, just take it. Don't miss this next phrase. If you miss this next phrase, you miss what God can do for you today. Look what he says in verse 10. And they stood up on their feet, and exceeding, say that next two words with me, great army. Now, why did the Bible say a great army? You ready for this? It says, because in 2 Kings chapter 25, God's people got away from him. They knew the knowledge, but they weren't yielded to the one that gave them that knowledge. And what happened? They had a leader named Zedekiah. And he had the concept, nobody can touch me, stop me. I'm going to do what I want to do. So you know what they did? God raised up Nebuchadnezzar and said, Nebuchadnezzar, I want you to go over there, and I want you to go show that prideful preacher, that long-standing Christian man of that church, I want you to go show him what he is. And the Bible said they came into the camp of Zedekiah, and they took his two boys. You ready for this? And they brought Zedekiah, and they set him in a chair, and they killed his two boys right in front of him. And then they poked out Zedekiah's eyes. And you know what happened to God's people? As an army, they tried to fight, and guess what? They were defeated. They were destroyed. They were nothing but rubble. They were left for nothing but death, a valley of dry bones. But watch this. When they were exposed to the Word of God, when the Spirit of God blew life into them, the Bible says they got up as a great army. Why? Because they were going to go back. You ready for this? And they were going to get back to where they were before they got away from God. They were going to get back to hope, back to the power, back to victory. And you say, Brother Joy, what happened? Hey, that's why when we read the book of Nehemiah, you know how they come back to Jerusalem, they build the wall, the book of Ezra, where they come back, they establish the law of God. Nehemiah and Ezra is after this. That's what happens next. After they're revived, after they come back, you can read about it in the Bible, the history of the Bible. But God's people were restored. They became an army again. They became a force for God again. Why? Are you ready for this? They were exposed to the Word of God, and they were yielded to the Spirit of God. And my friend, when we do that in our life, there's not a person in this building that he can't help. There's not a man in this building that he can't change. There ain't a woman in this building that can't be different. Somebody say amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Oh God. Lord, help us this morning.